Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
US inflation fears are back. Consumer prices rose by 4.2% in April and drove the inflation rate to the highest level in nearly 13 years. What does that mean for the worldwide markets? That's our topic today. This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Idine Moumidi. He's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Good to see you, Manuel.
Great to see you. Thanks for having us.
Peter, do you think a high inflation rate could be dangerous for the markets? I think we see that they are a little bit nervous.
So, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about this. It's still often a question when people ask me about yields and inflation. It's not really my wheelhouse. It's such deep economics, and I don't really understand it that much. But yesterday, I realized, you know what, something's going on here, and I think it's important that I address it and sort of really buff up my economic knowledge from back in college and whatnot. And so what we are looking at here is, I think it's a function of the reopening of the countries, of the reopening of the world, the reopening of the economies. I think it's a function of the employment situation, where a lot of people are being paid to stay home, are being paid stimulus package, and they are apprehensive about coming back into the workplace. Okay, and I'm fearful that as the supply chains of everything from food and services around the world have been interrupted for 1 year, I think that the gears are pretty creaky. You know, as we would say in New York, they need a little lubrication, WD-40. So I think the supply chain problems will cause an increase in pricing. The lack of a labor force that is really willing to go back to work yet is a problem. And I think the commodity increase in prices due to a global shutdown that we don't even have a playbook for, we've never seen this before, I think is a problem. So for me, once again, we have a perfect storm that will contribute to inflation. Inflation being the rising of consumer price index, right? That the cost of living, that the cost of goods and services is going to rise. And it's going to definitely have some effect on the economy. Sometimes it's positive on the economy, sometimes it's negative on the markets. But these markets have been flying, right? Due to the stimulus package. Let's look, we've got $100 trillion apparently between what the Fed is buying and the stimulus packages and the infrastructure and all the stimulus coming out of the countries around the world to support a global economic shutdown from COVID, that we've been printing money at an uncontrollable pace. Then the cost of reopening, the cost of refurbishing the supply chains of everybody's cost in services and goods is going to contribute to inflation. The number that came out this morning seems to confirm that. Now, is the market sell-off that we saw last week in the tech sector rotation that's been going on since October? You and me and Salah have discussed it for a while. Is that a continuation of the ongoing thing? Is this a technical sell-off after markets went fast and furious, high and mighty, hitting 35,000 last week, and basically a retracement and a consolidation of that? Or is this a sell-off in the market due to the fears of inflation? I think it's a little bit of all of those. What do you think, Salah?
Yeah, really good point. I like this discussion now, inflation or not. We need to be curious, and you already underlined it. Isn't it maybe just a demand and supply thing? I mean, supply chains have been broken since the outbreak of the pandemic. If you are seeking for a hard disk for any computer stuff, you will not get it. If you are seeking for lumber, for painting, for building commodities that you need for building a house, you don't find them. All other commodities as well are surging. But now we need to be really carefully in talking about, is it inflation or is it just a supply and demand thing that is just out of scope and not in an equilibrium like we in economics will say. So I think we need to wait up. So people are just a bit chasing the story by just pointing out on inflation. This is a thing that we need to check, and especially look on central banks. They also have this on their radar, but they are not talking about this is a crazy thing. They are just waiting, like you and I, and just looking whether this distorting supply chain is coming back. I think yes, really fast in the upcoming months. Hard disk, China is producing again. All the things that are still stocking there, I guess, will come back into the market, will bring an equilibrium back to supply and demand, which will be equalized. And then you will see that this kind of inflation maybe will disappear. So we need to have time. On markets, you need to have to be patient. Whether you are a trader, whether you are an investor, whether you are an economical researcher, it's always just taking your time, check and let these variables work and this correlation so that we can see. So from my point of view, let us, to make a long story short, let's take the time and let's really look whether this is just a supply and demand thing, or if it takes longer and longer, then it could also be something which is related to inflation. And we don't need to forget that there are central banks, the Fed, the ECB, the the Bank of Japan, and etc. They all will use their measurements to, of course, bring the economic on the right path, of course, which is also a government thing. But those both parties will keep on track and to fight against, of course, an exaggerated inflation. But a lot of the core inflation increase comes always from commodities. Look on crude oil, look on coffee, look on other commodities that are really surging. And that's why I want to give a question back to you, Peter. Is the skepsis that we have seen last week in the equity market, S&P, DAX, other big indices are dropping. People are a bit skeptical. So do you think that this, from a technical point, I'm still in an uptrend, in an intact, healthy uptrend. So I don't see till now any break of this valid trend. So do you think this is just a short-term correction that leads to new impulse waves? Or do you think, hey, this is the start of a beginning that will drop the markets because they made enormous gains, tremendous gains in the last 1 year, 2 years. So we need to cool down a bit, which is also healthy.
You are the godfather of seasonal trading patterns, right? Okay. So let's look for a minute. I know that the media and the press loves to put a name on reasoning for markets that start to sell off. We saw it during the Trump administration. There was the inverted yield curve. It inverted for 1 day or 3 hours, and the media started talking about a recession. The market was trading at record highs, 1 day of an inverted yield curve due to some kind of a strange pattern in the markets, and suddenly we're in a recession mode. One or two or three trading days do not make a market. I was listening to Arthur Cashin today, and they were trying to pigeonhole him and get an understanding of why the markets are doing what they're doing. And he's going, hold on a minute, guys. We have been in an upward trend since March 23rd. We got back to even after the huge crash of March 23rd. Already in August, we've seen double digit rise since then. A 1,000-point move, a 1,500-point move, right? A 5 to 10%. Sell-off, where markets are trading at insane valuations, stocks are trading at insane valuations, is no means of crash. It is not worth labeling it anything yet until it's lived out its course. There are many pieces to this puzzle. Inflation is clearly one of them. If you go back to my answer to the first question, these wheels, in order for companies and production of commodities to be able to protect themselves in the eyes of a complete economic shutdown, which we saw in May without any playbook to it, they had to reel back their production, their employment, all of those things, to just to protect their overhead and to protect and to be able to predict when they would be back up and running and how they were going to protect their business model. It lasted a lot longer than we thought it would. We're still a year and a quarter into this, and it's still an unknown on whether Europe will reopen, whether the variants are going to take over, where the volatility, the vaccine, and the virus are going to take us. So clearly, this interruption of the supply and demand chain, the demand is there, the supply is not, it's going to take a moment. Is this going to have a short-term effect on inflation? Perhaps. Is it going to have an immediate effect on the markets? I don't think so. As you described, you need to let this thing live itself out before you can blame a 3 or 4 day sell-off in a market that is incredibly frothy on inflation. Perhaps it's a technical consolidation. Perhaps it's a rotation out of tech, which has benefited and been incredibly successful in the pandemic market mode. And perhaps people are getting out of those high flyers where they have a huge profit over the last year and get into some of the stocks which have been beaten up over the last year: hospitality, cruise lines, casinos, airlines. Maybe they're selling the high flyers where there's a huge profit margin over the last year and trying to buy some of the mid-cap and the small-cap, which have more growth. This is nothing more to me than a bit of a shopping spree opportunity. Maybe things are on sale. We talk about these stocks that are 10%, 20% off of 52-week highs, but those 52-week highs were 100% off of the lows we saw on March 23rd. Let's be clear. If you go up 100%, you retrease 20%, we're not in a sell pattern. We're not in a state of darkness. All we are is stocks are on sale. If you were in love with a leather jacket at Macy's and it was at $600 and you couldn't afford it, and suddenly Macy's puts out a sale 50% off, you wouldn't start running for the hills going the other direction. You would get a shopping list together and you'd go, now I can buy my jacket at $300. What a gift. What an opportunity. So I kind of look at what's going on here. And from an investment point of view, all these stocks that are now been selling off over last week, right, are now coming into a place where they're actually buyable. They are in a price where they're investable, right? They were trading at such high multiples over the last years that from a long-term investment potential, you could not purchase them, and no hedge fund manager or high wealth person or investment advisor would advise you to pay the multiples that some of these stocks were trading at. The Zooms, the Pelotons, the PayPals, the Amazons, they were trading off the charts, right? So all we're seeing now over last week's bit of a sell-off, and I don't predict the markets going forward. I don't see a downtrend that, as you don't either. I think it feels to me short term. I think that the appetite, we've seen 1,000-point sell-offs over a couple of days a number of times over the last year. They've often been more a buying opportunity than a selling opportunity. Does this feel fast and furious for today? Yes. It's not a matter of where the stocks are going. It's a matter of where have they come from. And 4 days ago, 6 days ago, we were trading at record highs. Valuations were at incredible levels. Markets were hitting record closes, right? And then a few days of a rotation in the tech sector. Now it's eating away a little bit at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I feel more, it's nothing more than a little bit of a consolidation, a little bit of a stocks on sale for the moment spree. I think once they retrace to a level where the investment community long term is going to be able to say this stock has good value here, they're going to come roaring back up with their buy orders and they're going to get back involved.
Peter, thank you so much for all this energy. I love that. We have something new this week. Sala brought us the chart of the week. It's WTI oil. Sala, do you see any opportunities here for investors?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation that we see in crude oil or in WTI at all. I mean, we have seen this hack on this pipeline, and people have seen that the market was surging or crude oil was tending higher. But this is not the only reason why I think crude oil could even go higher. Technically speaking, we created higher highs, higher lows. We are in intact upward trend. Seasonally, we are now in the best period to buy WTI from April to June. This is the best period because there are a lot of companies and you are preparing for the summertime. So there are a lot of factors. I'm not the person who is seeking for the factors why seasonality is working. I just use it for trading with risk and money management. But you can see also commodities are going higher. So there are a lot of plenty factors that are supporting oil. And I'm a technical analyst, as you know. Look on the charts. We create higher highs, higher lows, and really important, one moving average that I love to use in crude oil is the 100-day moving average, which shows us here now in the four-hour chart that it was a wonderful support since we started this impulse wave in crude oil. So if somebody would say, yeah, how could I trade crude oil right now? If you are on the bullish side, I would use knockout levels at least below $60 to support this trend. But if you say, hey, guys, I don't believe in the seasonal patterns this year, I think this is the end for crude oil right now. You could even position yourself with turbo puts at the upper side, at least above $70, to limit your risks, of course. What do you think, Peter? Crude?
I love that we have a new chart in our works, and we can call it WTI Wednesday. I love that. That's a good thing. I think that we just talked about inflation. Oil is a commodity, so obviously it's following that trend. The hack on the Colonial Pipeline is a huge deal, right? It will, over the next couple of weeks, cause an absolute interruption into the supply chain to the Northeast and a lot of the United States. Huge demand coming into the seasonal pattern, coming into summer, coming into people, coming out of the woodwork. Let's look at where we came from once again. We had a global economic shutdown. People were sheltered in place. Cruise ships weren't going out of port. Planes were not flying. People were sheltered in place. People were not using their cars, right? So the demand for oil has been at a low over the last year during the pandemic. Whatever happens going into the future, we do know things are starting to come up. The demand is starting to pick up. That will have bearing on the demand on oil with an interrupted supply chain. As a catalyst, I believe we're going to see those things go higher. So look, we are coming into summer. This is going to be the summer of love since 1975. People have been locked down. I hope Europe starts to open up. We here are giving ourselves a little bit of a breather as far as the virus goes. We have a better situation with vaccines. I'm noticing people are out in the streets and whatnot. I'm sure that there are people. There are, you know, musical venue events. There are concerts and things around the world. We saw that in Spain. We've seen some test markets where they're trying to open the world up for the summer. What will that mean? People will be traveling again, flying again. I don't know if they're going to get on cruise ships yet. But there will be, once again, from a stagnant point of view of supply, we're going to see a big increase in demand. If there's any, so we do know that as crazy as it is, even though oil is produced all over the world and there is a plethora of supply normally, it is a complicated story between Saudi Arabia. Perhaps there's a problem going on, whatever's happening, unfortunately, in the Middle East. Surely the hack in the United States on the supply chain going forward. But the seasonal patterns, the summer coming up, the reopening of the world, I believe is a bullish bet on the oil trade.
Peter, and we have another topic, one of our favorite topics, cryptocurrencies. Goldman Sachs just started an own crypto desk. Do you think that a lot of companies will follow with a lot of new crypto products, and maybe many banks and financial firms will follow that trend?
You know, this crypto story is just is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, we look, I'm sure you guys, I don't know if you watch Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You know, Elon Musk was the host of Saturday Night Live, and obviously Dogecoin is the flavor of the moment, and cryptocurrencies are, you know, the topic of conversation at the watering hole, or where people go to get a drink at the office, and look, we've got Bitcoin, which is one thing. You've got Ethereum, which is another. These things have some value, and they are obviously attractive. They are obviously laying their footprint way deeper than just being a tradable coin. They're showing that they do have value. They're showing that companies are starting to show interest in them, and they do have traction. Then you've got Dogecoin, and if anyone watched the Saturday Night Live episode, the biggest, funniest part of the whole thing was, first of all, everyone buying it up. Everybody on Earth telling everyone, you got to buy it into the Saturday Night Live episode. And they bought Dogecoin, which was started as a joke. Let's be clear. It has no value except for whatever the supply and demand is of it within the trading market. They ran it up to 70. And the minute Mr. Musk started talking the stock and calling it a hustle, the stock went straight down to 40. That's a 40% sell-off in a two-hour period of time. The bottom line, which I think was the funniest part, was the episode of the newscast was they kept saying, so, you know, professor, whatever his name was in the show, what is Dogecoin? And he said, it's a crypto card. They said, no, but what is Dogecoin? And he said, well, it's this. And he goes, well, no, what is it? And the funny thing is, I always am asked the same question. What is it? I don't know. I know someone knows more about it than me. You know, it is a cryptocurrency. What does that mean? I have no idea. So there are hundreds of coins being produced. There are trading desks at Goldman Sachs being started now. Obviously, people are using it for payments all over the world in different companies. Obviously, Tesla thinks. I find it curious, though, that Elon Musk starts an electric car company, right, called Tesla, which is supposed to be good and sustainable for the environment, using less electricity and gasoline for the footprint of the world. And then he is supporting cryptocurrency, which is the most egregious use of electricity, devastating the environment and the electric footprint in the world. So call me crazy, but that seems like a bunch of BS to me. All that being said, surely cryptocurrency is way bigger than me, the Einstein of Wall Street. People are getting involved in it. I beg people to do their homework. Call Salah, he'll give you his lowdown on it. You can use technical analysis to look at the graphs of cryptocurrencies, and I beg you to do that. I beg you not to follow the mob as a strategy to trade the cryptos, because by the time you hear about the story, the trade is already out of the trade, right? So all that being said, I still don't get it. Do I wish I had bought Bitcoin at $2,000? Of course I do. I always love a good investment. Do I beg people to do their homework and check it out? Does it seem frothy at $60,000? Absolutely. But what do I know? I'm just Einstein.
Hey, it's a really exciting situation in cryptos. I love them, but we need to underline definitely, Peter, and this is why this bump and dump is also working. I, on Wall Street, can I sell all my shares? I don't own Tesla, but if I would have 30%, 40% on Tesla, can I sell them today, all on market, right now? No. There's regulation, there's transparency. You know who the person is behind that. So the walls and the small ants in the crypto market, you don't know who that is and when he's going to sell and why is his intention to sell or to buy. So this is not the classical market that we desire, because this is secure, you know what is happening, and this bump is not 1 or 2 seconds. So there is a reason behind it. And this is the next step that cryptos, I know people don't like it sometimes, but this is the next step for cryptos to be regulated, to be in a framework that we know, because there are a bunch of people in a bunch of cryptos that already are dead. You made your total loss. Nobody likes the stories, because we like stories that are successful, that are green, that are nice. If I would be not a honorable technical analyst, I would show you only my profit trades and never my losing trades. But this is not the truth. So this is something what we definitely need to know. And why Goldman, why all this institutional are coming back to cryptos? Dow Jones, the index creator, has created already an index. There are ETFs coming out for, especially not for Dogecoin, of course, but for Bitcoin and Ethereum. They are already there. So institutions starting to get into this market, of course, because their clients are asking them for opportunities in cryptocurrencies. And of course, if there is a need, you need to perform. And this is what, of course, they do. And I think this index that is coming up on Wall Street will definitely create more demands for structuring products around this cryptocurrency environment. And this is, of course, something that Goldman is doing. We at IG offer also our products that are less risk that you have, because you know cryptocurrencies, everybody knows them, or I know people that have a good performance, but did they sell any time on their wallet? What is happening if this crypto exchange is not working, is not there? All these things happened, and then the price was going down. This is something what we at IG, Wall Street, we all have a secureness that, of course, you can rely on, and this is really important. And please don't be so greedy. Lock in your profits and cut your short loss, even on cryptos, commodities, equities, whatever. Learn this lesson.
Guys, thank you so much. It was a great talk today. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time. Salah Idine Boumidi, the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman. Guys, thank you.
Thank you, guys. It was really interesting.
Great show. Thanks, guys.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Thanks for watching. See you next time.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.